of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Now remember that verse there. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Glory to God. Brother Scotty said it all a while ago when he said that you got to live a life of faith, that it can't be something that we just decide to do in emergency situations. And that's so true, because that's exactly what happens in many times in people's lives as Christians. But there's a difference. And tonight, the title of the message is called, Where Do You Live? Or Where Do You Dwell? Where do you dwell? Where do you live? And he said, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And then he said down here, because that you have made me your habitation. He said, I will honor you, and he'll do all these things. But how many knows that there's a place that God wants you and I to dwell at in the Spirit? There's a fleshly realm, and there's a spiritual realm. There's a heavenly realm, there's a natural realm. Did you know that it's possible to be a Christian and not be dwelling in the Spirit? It's possible to be a Christian and not be aware of who you really are. Did you know that when you got born again, your identity changed? You're not the person you used to be. See, we have to have somebody tell us who we are, because we really don't know who we are. The Word of God has to tell us who we really are and what God can do in our life if we trust in Him. And see, but this is what David was talking about. He was saying that if we dwell in this secret place, he said that that His angels are going to protect you and keep you, and God's going to do all these great things in your life. And that's the truth. I mean, I've had angels protect me. I've had angels keep me from breaking my leg today. And I had a stone when it said, no, He'd give His angels charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I had that happen to me when I had a dozer or a loader, and I had a big pipe about this big around, and we was moving it, and I picked the end of it up, and he slung it with all the weight of this thing, and it weighed about 2 tons, and my foot was between it and a big rock, and it just squashed my foot. And I had a rubber boot on too, it wasn't even steel. And I could see my foot just squish. And I said, oh, Lord, I just mashed my foot off. I was afraid to pull my boot off. I was afraid my foot would still be in it. And so I finally pulled my boot off, and then I looked in there. There wasn't no blood. And I said, what's going on? I said, this doesn't even hurt. And then I started walking around on it, and I thought, how could this be? I just saw my foot squish flat between a two-ton pipe and a solid rock. And all at once, this scripture came to me. He said, I'll give my angels charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone. And so my foot never even hurt my foot at all. And so I've seen God do things like that in my life. But see, you can still forget things sometimes. You can still forget what God's done for you. You can forget who you are as a child of God. And so, but in the kingdom of God, When it talks about up in the Bible, it's talking about in the Spirit. When it's talking about up, it's talking about, when it talks about heavenly things, it says that in Christ Jesus, you know, that we've been blessed with all heavenly spiritual blessings. I want to read a scripture to you from Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But notice this, that word mount, I mean that word right there when it says wait, it means to become one with. It means to become one with the Lord. And the more that you become one with Him, He said that He will cause you to mount up. And that word up there is, again, it's a reference to being in the Spirit. And there's something about warfare, even in old times, like the Civil War and things like this, that when they were in battles, they always, the person that was higher up had an advantage on the people that was down low. I mean, when they were in battle, they would try to find a place to where they were higher than their enemies were. Because when the enemy's having to come uphill and you're shooting downhill at them, you got an advantage of them. And so when we were talking about spiritual things, the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against darkness, evil spirits, wicked spirits in high places. And so the enemy doesn't want the church to come to a place to where we are walking where God wants us to walk. But see, when He said that they that wait upon the Lord, He said they're going to mount up. Did you know that God wants to cause us to mount up? He wants us to be higher than our enemies. The Bible says, it talks about the highway of holiness. It says that He said, speak to the fearful, and He said, tell them to fear not. Be strong and fear not. There's a scripture in the book of Joel that says, let the weak say I'm strong. And so I've been thinking about these scriptures, and He said, let the weak say I'm strong. And then He said, tell those that are fearful, fear not, be strong. And I was thinking, well, That's what He's really telling us is, see, it's not us personally. See, this is, everybody's different. And you might say, well, I'm too fearful, I can't do that. That's not you. That's not who you really are. You're not fearful in the Spirit. In the natural, see, but what He's saying is, in the Spirit, all of us can be strong. He said, say I'm strong. Say I'm strong. Because that's what you are in the Spirit, in Christ. Because see, you got to see it like this. Jesus, how many believes Jesus is strong? Yep. How many believes that Jesus can defeat the devil every time He faces him? And everything that He's done for us at Calvary, He done so that we could defeat the enemy. And so when we are in Christ, it's not our strength, it's His strength. It's His life. It's not our life, it's His life. And the more that we understand that we are in Him and we're to abide in Him. He said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, He said, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. See, so that when He says, be strong, fear not. That means that it's possible for everybody in here to fear not. It means it's possible that you don't have to say, but I can't, I'm just too weak. No, you don't say you're weak, say I'm strong. Don't be afraid, fear not. Glory to God. In the Spirit is up. In the flesh is down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Did you know that perception, you know, I've heard this statement a few times, perception is reality. Ever how people perceive things, even though it might be a lie, if you perceive it that way, you think it's a reality, which it may not even be. See, that's how the devil lies to people, is he tries to get you to look at things and think that the way you're perceiving it is the way it really is. And so when you look at yourself and you say, I'm weak, I perceive myself as weak, and you think that's reality. But the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And so the devil uses the things you see to try to convince you that you're weak. He tries to convince you that the Word of God's not true, that you're sick, you're going to die, you got this problem. But the Word of God is true. When He said, by His stripes ye are healed. Glory to God. But He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Did you know that I believe that 90% of our problems as Christians has to do with how we think? I think it has to do with what we're thinking. We think the wrong way. We're not thinking the right thoughts. See, the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. But notice He said, be strong. I mean, just think about that. Be strong. And I mean, I'm talking to myself. When I've been weak before, I didn't say, be strong, Bradley. I didn't say, be strong. I was like, I'm weak. I perceive myself as weak. And because I perceive myself as weak, that must be reality. But it's not reality. What you perceive is not reality. What you perceive in the natural, your perception must come by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost giving you revelation who you are as a child of God, because God wants to reveal to us, the Holy Ghost has come to show us who we are as a child of God. And the Spirit of God is going to cause you to be strong. He said, be strong, fear not. The enemy wants you to fear. He wants you to look at things and be afraid. But like Scotty said, if we're living this lifestyle of faith to where we're living it every day and we're practicing it every day, then when some kind of situation comes up, it doesn't catch you off guard. Look with me to Isaiah chapter 35. In verse 3, it says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come, and with vengeance even God will recompense, and He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in a desert. And parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Glory to God. But notice He said it's called a highway. A way and a highway. You remember that scripture where it said, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways. He said, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways. He said, but let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts and let him come unto me. See, God was saying, I don't want you to think that way. He said, I want you to think like I think. He wasn't saying that this is the way it's going to be from now on. He was saying, this is how it is, but this isn't what I want. I want you to think like I think. Glory to God. In Isaiah chapter 2, in verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days. How many believes this is the last days? That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, a high place, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Glory to God. But notice there, see, he's figuratively saying it's not a real mountain. He's referring to the mountain of the Lord. He's talking about a high place. He's talking about, remember when I said that when it talks about up or high places in the Bible, it's referring to being in the Spirit. It's referring to walking in the kingdom of God. How many remembers where it said the kingdom of God comes not with observation, for the kingdom of God is within you? See, you can walk in the kingdom of God right now, and when you're walking in the kingdom, you're walking in heavenly places. Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. He referred to himself as being in heaven while he was here on earth. And so, what was he talking about? He was talking about a spiritual place in the Spirit. That there is a place in the Spirit that you and I can walk to where we can have victory every time we face anything in life. Yeah. Glory to God. But we have to dwell there. We have to live there on a regular basis. I think sometimes we've learned to live in the valley too long. We've learned to live in the valley and try to survive in the valley. And God said, I want you to come up on the mountaintop with me. Glory to God. In Romans chapter 8, it says, verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now think about that. He said, if you go walk after the flesh, you're going to be fleshly minded. You're going to think on fleshly things. He said, but if you're spiritually minded, you're going to think on spiritual things. Glory to God. He says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many knows that the way you think, if you think spiritually, it's going to bring life to you? If you think fleshly, if you're not thinking spiritually, see, when I say spiritually, I'm saying God wants us to think the way He thinks. He wants us to see things the way He sees things. He wants us to see things through the cross. How many knows that your life, your righteousness is not earned by how good you are. Your righteousness to stand before God is because of what Jesus done for you at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And see, whenever we believe that and we start thinking that way all the time, it changes the way you see things. It changes the way you act. But we have to learn to think spiritually minded and not naturally minded. Because in the natural world, see, the devil will pat you on the head and tell you that the way you see it, the way it is. And your pride will say, yep, I call them like I see them. But see, that's what pride, that's why God said, I dwell in a high and lofty place with him that's of an humble and contrite spirit. Pride goeth before a fall. See, pride has to go out of our life because it will blind you. Pride will make you think you're seeing things the way things that really is. But God don't want you looking through the natural. He wants you looking through the spiritual. Excuse me. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, were in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look over here to verse chapter 1 and verse 17. This is Paul praying a prayer for this Ephesian church. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints. He wants us to know this. And he said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You remember I said that every who has the higher place has an advantage over the enemy. Well, here it says that he has put far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that can even be named is under Jesus. Everything. But guess what? You're in Jesus. You're in Christ. See, the revelation of that has to come to us. We have to come to the revelation that every knee must bow. Every enemy that comes against us. He said every demon, every principality is under us. Glory to God. It's below us, which is his body. And it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Now think about that. We have been raised up and made to sit together in heavenly places. And remember, when it's talking about heavenly places, it's not talking about up in heaven, way off somewhere. It's talking about a spiritual realm. It's a spiritual dimension. Glory to God. But it's real. And seeing it, the more that we have a revelation of that, this, the more that we understand this principle and we begin to walk in it, we will see the power of God. See, God, He said here that He was praying that they would know what the hope of their calling was, what the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of His power that's in us, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. See, God's wanting us to have a revelation of that. He's wanting us to experience that. Glory to God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then he said, "And beside this, give in all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," or love. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Glory to God. Did you know that if we want to walk in the kingdom of God, that it's a walk of faith? It's a walk of faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. He said we walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter how it looks. It's what the Word of God said. It's what God speaks to us and what He said in His Word. But when the Bible said if you depart from faith, you'll make shipwreck. If you depart from faith and a good conscience, He said you'll make shipwreck. So that tells me that if I want to see the glory of God, I've got to stay in faith. I've got to keep a right spirit. Did you know the devil puts a lot of traps out for people? And he tries to get you. There's certain things that takes you back. You know, there's habits in people's lives. There's things that was part of their old that the enemy will try to use those things in your life to get you to revert back to what you used to be like. Anger, bitterness, rejection, drugs, alcohol, unforgiveness. You know, when you get bitter, you get somebody hurt your feelings, somebody makes you mad. See, we got to realize that the enemy uses these triggers to try to trigger us to revert back, to give in. How many knows when you get mad, it makes you want to give in to sin? I mean, you get mad, and first thing you say, "Well, I ain't going to church tonight." You get mad, and you say, "I ain't cooking you no supper." You get mad, you know, it's like when you're angry, it justifies giving in to whatever it is you want to give in to. And so you have to be careful about becoming angry. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." And so there's certain things, I mean, it's just like, you know, like people that smoke cigarettes or whatever. You know, that whenever they eat food, the next thing they want to do is smoke a cigarette. You know, you're trying to quit, and so then you eat something, and it triggers that thing in you to make you want that. And it's just like when all these, I mean, I'm not just picking on that because there's other things. I mean, you might not smoke cigarettes, but you might have bad temper. You might have something else in your life that triggers things and makes you revert back to somebody hurt your feelings and you feel rejected. And all at once you throw walls up and you start going back to what pushing everybody out and you quit walking in love. But you know what? If you want to abide in this place I'm talking about, we got to learn to walk in the love of God. Don't let nothing pull you out of the love of God. When the enemy, if somebody comes up and slaps you in the face, just realize it's the enemy trying to get you out of the love of God, trying to get you to revert back. But don't do it. Don't give into it because, see, it's more important if we can see the goal, if we can see what's out there in front of us, if we can see the vision and say, this is where I'm going, I'm shooting for the goal. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But notice he said the high calling, the upward calling. God's calling us up. He's calling us to a higher place in the Spirit. He's calling us to walk above this worldly realm, to think like He wants us to think. You know, it's not the temptation and trials that defeat you. It's how you think about them. It's how you think. And so, when I first got saved, my mind was messed up pretty bad, I guess about like everybody else's was. But the more I read the Word of God and the more I meditated in the Word of God, and then God started giving me revelation about the Word of God, and it started changing the way I thought. I started seeing things differently. And you know what? All these years, He's still doing the same thing. He's still changing the way I think. Because every once in a while, I get some stinking thinking. You know, and when you start thinking wrong, you got to do something about it, because if you start thinking wrong, you're going to start acting wrong. You're going to start going down a wrong pathway. And so be careful about don't let the enemy take you out of the love of God, because the Scripture says, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, keep yourself in the love of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you know something else? Did you know that when you praise God, praise is an act of faith? Praise is an act of faith. Because if you really believe that God's going to help you, or you believe God's going to answer your prayer, it makes you thankful. I remember years ago, I was working in Birmingham, and over at the Walmart distribution in Coleman, there was a big job. It was before they built the place there, and there was companies that were bidding on that job. And I started praying. I said, Lord, let our company get this job so I can work here in Coleman. I don't have to go to Birmingham. And so sure enough, we got the job. They told us out there that we got the bid on the job and we were going to be working there. And I remember there was such a thankfulness that came up in my heart. And I just started praising God, and I just started thanking Him because that He had answered my prayers. You know, and it was a sincere thankfulness. But you know what? You can thank God before you even see it. When you pray a prayer and you believe God's going to do it, start thanking Him, because that's a sure sign of faith. When you're thanking God in advance before you ever see it, glory to God, that's an act of faith. And see, that's how we got to think. Because see, the angels are always praising God and worshiping God because they're in His presence. And you know, when we're in the Spirit, we're really in the presence of God. You know, if you're abiding in His presence, it's going to change you. It's going to make you different. Prayer. You know, when we pray, and how many knows when you pray in the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it's going to build up your spirit man. It's going to make you stronger. Going to church. How many knows that church is part of the reason we come to church is to make us stronger. It's to worship God. It's to praise God. It's to hear the Word of God. It's to receive edification. It's to receive things that, because sometimes your mind starts thinking wrong and you get in church and it makes you start back thinking right again. You know, if you stay out of church long enough, then you don't have nothing to conflict your mind. You don't have nothing to compare it to. It's like you become your own judge, and every how you think that's okay. But when you start thinking wrong and you go to church, and I used to, and my preacher, whenever I first got saved, every time I'd go to church, and he'd preach right to me every time I'd go to church, and I'd say, how does he know what I'm doing? And I mean, every Sunday, and I was just totally amazed. I thought, how could he know this? You know, and I was sitting there one day and I said, Lord, I wished I could do that. And all at once the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm glad you said that. And I felt something just pour over the top of my head, and I could literally feel oil just run over me like this. And the Lord said, I'm glad you said that, because that's what I want you to do. And so that was when he called me to preach. But the thing of it was, I would go to church and I would hear the preacher. But you know what? When I started missing church, I started missing more and more church services, and I slowly started getting away from God until eventually I went back into the world. And, you know, it took me about a year to completely do it, but eventually I did. But it was because I quit going to church. I quit going to church and I quit hearing the Word, and I let it take me further and further. My thinking, I got more and more people around me that was lost. And I started thinking that I was seeing things right, but I wasn't. You start thinking wrong. And when you meditate in the Word of God, you know, God will speak to you. Sometimes you don't know what your problem is, and you can be reading the Word or listening to a preaching tape or something, and all at once you hear it. You hear, that's what my problem is right there. Because you heard the Word. You heard what God was speaking to you. I'm just going to say these real quickly and I'll be through. The weapons the enemy uses is, number one, he tries to distract you by troubles, by problems, by cares of this life, to get your attention and your mind off of the kingdom of God. Secondly, he wants to use fear, fearful thoughts, anxiety, oppression, depression, anything he can to get you in fear. And then thirdly, sin, any kind of sin that you know is sin in your life, it's going to cause you to slowly drift away from God. It's going to take your mind away from God. Offenses, being offended, being upset at somebody, being bitter, unforgiveness, believing a lie. And see, this is a big thing here, really. Many people believe lies and don't even realize it. You know, they think that they're believing something is true. They'll say, all churches is out for money. All preachers is for money. They ain't nothing but all hypocrites in church. And, you know, they believe that lie in their mind, and to them, it's reality, but it's really a lie. It's deception. You know, I had a guy preach at my church one time. He said, the church kills its own people, shoots its own people that are wounded, but you can go in a bar, and that's the best place to go. And when church was over with, I said, that was a lie what you said to that. He said, what do you mean a lie? I said, the real church does not shoot its own people. The real church ministers life back to the people. I said, so that was a lie, you know. But see, in his mind, he thought he was seeing it right. He thought it was better to go to the bar and get drunk than it was to go to church. So don't let the devil lie to you. And the way you can tell when something's a lie is, if it makes you want to quit, if it makes you want to back up, if it takes away your momentum going forward, if it hurts you, if it makes your hurts your faith, if it hurts your love walk with God, it's a lie. A lie always brings negative into your life. And so if you're believing a lie, it will affect you that way. And you must learn to not live by how things look. You got to live by faith. Don't neglect church. Don't neglect prayer. Don't neglect the Word of God, because these things are things that helps to keep you aware of the kingdom of God and of the Spirit of God. But the more that we become aware of who we really are, and, you know, let's say this right here. I am strong. I am strong. The Word of God says I am strong, so therefore I am strong. Glory to God. I'm a strong Christian. Glory to God. You're strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Glory to God. Just be. Just let it happen. Glory to God. I'm taking that for myself. Glory to God. How many loves the Lord tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer tonight for anything?